chapter 7. And when you come to Jeremiah chapter 7 through chapter 10, 7, 8, 9, 10, all of that takes place in the temple area at the gate or gates where people are going in and out. And so it is a time of change. And in the Josiah in 609 dies. And Jehoiakim comes into play as a fellow ahead of him, but he only lasts 3 months. And so you have a king. You have going from a good king trying to do everything right, and you're going to a bad king that doesn't care about doing anything right. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, the temple, and they are looking, and remember now what we're looking at, take a look at maybe, is that Israel should learn something from history. Judah, Jerusalem, should learn something. They have been admonished many times to learn something about each time they fail to learn. And so, here they are, and thus, they are looking for the temple, and they're looking for the temple to be their ace in the hole to win. They're counting on that. And they look at history, and they fail to understand history. They look at it wrongly. And they fail to, they didn't value the temple rightly. And they didn't value God rightly. Two goofs. Wrong about the temple and wrong about God. Now, in order to catch that, to go back about just almost 100 years into history and take a look at what they didn't learn. They should have learned, but they didn't do it. So, in order to take a moment and go back into history, if you would, over to 2 Kings chapter 17. Second Kings 17, and picking up, if I can, in verse 6. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and Habor by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. So, in other words, the Assyrians took the 10 tribes in the north into captivity, and that's in 722 B.C. So here's the 10 tribes all going. And the two tribes in the south, Judah, Benjamin, which you're looking at in Jeremiah, they're there, and the king, here's the captivity, and here's the king, Ahaz, and then here's Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is the king. He's a good king. Now, so here's Assyria, though, up here. Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, stay in 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And if I may, introduce Hezekiah, the king. And it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, then Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. His father was not a good king, but Hezekiah is a dramatic 180-degree opposite, as it were. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And remember from our study of the kings up in the north, the bad kings and the good kings. And all the time, the reference is, any king is the standard, is David. David, you'll see. And according to David, that's the standard. A good king, according to David. Bad king, not otherwise. So now, having said that, so here's Hezekiah, a good king. And he's there, and by the way, he does a lot of wonderful things. And in the process, verse 5 will help us with that. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So he really does a wonderful job. And he cleanses the temple. And he reconcentrates the temple. He cleanses it. Needs to be brought back to be set apart for God. And he consecrates it to God. He does that. Now, hang on to that, because that's what Jeremiah 7, they're looking at the temple. And the temple, remember, is the key for them. Hezekiah, the temple was the key. That's what they're going to look at. And Hezekiah did a wonderful thing to get the temple back in order. Now, in the light of that, if you would, chapter 18, and picking up, please, in verse 17. 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 17. Now remember now, Sennacherib is Assyrian. He is the king of Assyria. And they already have taken the 10 tribes in the north. And so now the king of Assyria, now who's Sennacherib, he decides to do his thing. And he's coming down, back down to Judah. Coming down. That's where Hezekiah is. So here's Sennacherib coming with his big army down again. And so, Hezekiah, what are we going to do? Just like in Jeremiah 7, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Well, history back. What did Hezekiah do? Well, Hezekiah, here comes Sennacherib and coming down, the king of Assyria. And so if I can, picking up, please, in verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsatis and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of Fuller's Field. And so they're coming, and verse 19, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, with what confidence is this wherein you're trusting? So the word, here's Hezekiah and not cooperating. So they want to know, in the light of the huge army of the Assyrians, they want to know, well, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting that you aren't afraid of us, that you aren't, why aren't you quickly yielding to us? Ahaz did that, the father of Hezekiah, but not Hezekiah. No, he didn't do that. And so now, in the light, verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counseled this, and I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now, we're going to look at the word trust several times. That's the same verb. I'm going to catch it to put it together. And so, they want to know who you're trusting. And the end of verse 20, now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trusteth upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all that trust in him, on him. So whether you're trusting Pharaoh, or who you're trusting, if you're trusting Egypt, and they were, to come and join them against the Assyrians, they're trusting, and Assyria says, it's like leaning on a sharp point, and when you lean on a sharp point, it'll go right through your hand. Now, why would you want to trust Pharaoh? Why would you want to trust Egypt? Verse 22. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, that our trust in the Lord our God, is not that he, the God you are trusting in, whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken down, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. And Hezekiah has gone. Here's all their religious relic, rituals, all the things that make their religious world workable for them. And Hezekiah has taken them all down, destroyed them. And so, looking, here's the Assyrians looking, you've got rid of all your gods. You've insulted your gods. So how can you trust your God when Hezekiah has just insulted him, blasphemed him? Thus, verse 22, and keeping in mind, and in the process now, our trust is not he whose high places, etc. Verse 23, now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges, that has to do with hostages or wages. What's that mean? Well, let's have a little wager between us. Since you're there, and it's sort of a fun thing for them, they're looking down, and here's puny little Judah in the light of the Assyrian army, and the general says, hey, listen, let's have a little wager. I'm going to give you 2,000 horses. I want to see if you can find 2,000 men that could ride those horses and go against us. How's that for a wager? I'm going to give you 2,000 horses, and if you can find 2,000 men to go on them, you can have them and attack me. Now, so, I give pledges to my lord and king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. So if you can do that, that's a bet. Let's see if you can do that. Now, verse 24. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my servants, master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? How are you going to do that? Now, verse 25. Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? Do you think I'm here all by my lonesome? Do you think I'm here without God's permission? No, said the king of Assyria. I am here with God's permission. And in verse 25, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. God said me, told me, sent me. Now, like all cases, Assyria doesn't get the whole thing properly. So hold your finger here and go over to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And in Isaiah chapter 10, may I pick up, please? I'm going to go directly to verse 5. Remember now, the Assyrian is saying, we have God's sanction to come and get you. We are God's rod of correction, which is true. Babylon, all of them, no question. But, you're missing a point. But they took what they wanted. And that, verse 5, O Assyria, the rod of mine anger, verse 5, 10, 5, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, against the people of my wrath, will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So, Assyria says, see, we were given, God gave us the sanction to do this. Otherwise, we couldn't have done it. Now, back over to 1 Kings and chapter 18. So here, in the light of that, and, oh, well, we'll do it a little back. First, got to hold your finger here again. I got to fill in a piece. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, if you would, and chapter 32. And Hezekiah, in this case. And in chapter 32, picking up, please, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 2. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib, he's coming. He came twice. Well, down he came down once. Now he's coming down again. This time, he means business. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountain, which were without the city. And they did help him. So in other words, he's going to prepare for the enemy's coming. And we're going to go and make sure they have no water, no trees, no whatever it is for weaponry. We want to get rid of all the stuff that they could use to survive. So now, verse 5. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. He set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, now what did he say to them? Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, don't be, nor for all the multitude, great army, for all the multitude that is with him. Why not? For there is more with us than with him. And that's very common, you know, for God's people. If I'll give it to you in a simple way. Romans 8. If God be for you, what? Now, there's all kinds of ways to illustrate this mighty truth. But if God be for you, who on earth can be against you? God wins. Now, so, here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So they're resting on that, trusting what Hezekiah has said. Now, so having said that, 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 18, and picking up, if I can, in verse 28. Now, you've got to go, and we got to go, and we've got to, Hezekiah's words of encouragement need to find discouragement. And when you try to encourage up, the enemy seeks to knock you down. So when you get up, I'm going to do it. And then doubt and denial and fear and fault all lines up. And there goes your courage. There goes your incentive to go out on the field and get a touchdown. Wow. Now, so here's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28. Then said the king, let not Hezekiah to the people. Then said the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust, is your word again, in the Lord. You don't let Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So, you make sure you don't listen to Hezekiah, who said, God's going to come and keep our city. Now, they didn't believe that in the days of Jeremiah, chapter 7. They don't believe that. They don't even believe Nebuchadnezzar's going to get that far. Over, if I can. And in verse 31. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me, buy a present. In other words, give me gold, silver, booty, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, every one of his fig tree, drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land. In other words, make yourself at home with your benefits in the government, in the world, in the country. Make yourself at home. Until I get rid of them. That sounds like our country. Where we're going. It does. Wow. Now, picking up, if I can, in verse 32, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that you may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Don't get hung up with what that guy's saying. Don't do that. We're going to treat you good. All that you have, we're going to change it for you. And when we take you captive, we're going to see that you are given a nice little house by a lake with a garden and everything. We're going to make it nice for you. That's a big joke. Well, that's what they said. And people go for that, you know. Wow. Now, and thus, verse 33. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? In other words, the Syria is in top power now. And everywhere Syria goes, they conquer. They conquer the enemy. They conquer the enemy. They conquer the enemy. And all of the gods, remember, the nations have all their gods. And the Assyrian gods have defeated all the other gods. That's how they got the nations. And how are you, Jerusalem, with your God, going to overcome when we beat all of the nations and all of the gods? How are you going to possibly overcome us? Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to verse 37. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household of Sheba, the scribe, and Joha, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah, with their clothes rent, and told him all the words of Rabshakeh. So here they come, and they're all, boy, they got boy, what we're hearing from the enemy is, and what the people are responding to and having to listen to, boy, and it's heartbreaking, and they're all upset in a good way. Chapter 19. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent, and he got it, went in. He's going to go in, going to get the priest. Going to go in. He's going to, where are you going to go? Just think of Psalm 42 in that. What do you do when you're there? What do you do when your heart breaks and everything? I went to the house of God. Hang on, we'll read it. We don't have to guess at that. Psalm 42, I think. And in Psalm 42, picking up, please, verse 3, 42:3. My tears have been my meat, food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, they pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down? Where am I going to go? I'm going to go to God. If I go to God, boy, what can't he do? What can't he do? Nothing sad about this one. No, I'm all upset. But boy, I'm coming to God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all anxiety within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now back over to chapter 18. Now what are they going to do? What are you going to do, Hezekiah? What did any of you guys do? You understood. What did David do? You went to God. Went to God. That's what you got to do. Are you doing that in Jeremiah's day, Israel? I mean, Judah? No, they aren't doing that. And thus, chapter 19 and verse 5, what did they come to grips with? What did they need? They needed a message from God. And verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. That's Isaiah the prophet. Now, what do you know? You go to go where God is, and you're going to hear from God, and that's what Isaiah said it. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. He made fun that I couldn't, compared to other gods when there are no gods. You blaspheme me, said God. Now, it's the wrong thing to do. Verse 7. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So there you go. Isaiah says, be of good cheer. Our God knows, and the problem isn't with Israel's unbelief. The problem is with the world's blasphemy of God. Looking at God, they're doing that. You got all the stuff going on. You had an anti-Christmas crusade, a Thanksgiving crusade, and now you got anti-Christmas crusade. You got all that stuff going. You got to get rid of Christmas. Got to get rid of Christmas. And I got that. So you got it. And so God says, listen, you can go so far, but only so far. Now, so here they are. God, Isaiah's told them what's going to happen. And thus, they're looking. And in the light of that, over, if you would, please, to chapter 19 and in verse 9. Chapter 19 and verse 9. Now, what do you do? You're going back and forth like the happens in life. And like we're doing with Iran, Iraq, and all that stuff, you know, back and forth, China. And thus, verse 9, and when he heard say of Tirhah, Terekah, king of Ethiopia, behold, as he come out of to fight against thee, he sent messages again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, say, let not thy God in whom thou trusteth deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now, Isaiah said it wouldn't be, and Hezekiah keeps on it, but they're going to insist that that is not going to happen. Behold, thou hast heard, verse 11, that the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and thou shalt be delivered. Have the gods of thy nation, of the nations, delivered them out of the fathers, which my fathers have destroyed? And then you're going to go to Gothan, etc. And that's what they did. They took the Assyrians, etc., north. Here's northern 10 tribes. And you go about 350 miles northwest up with the river Goshen, etc., and up there. The little town, they divided them up. They split them all up in all the to divide them so they couldn't have any power. Now, that's when you get together, you have power. That's why God said, be of one mind and one heart. And you have power. Power. Now, God, here we are looking. And they're going to go. And Hezekiah, and in chapter 19, verse 14, Hezekiah now has to respond. And Hezekiah received the letter by the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. What are you going to do with your problem? Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, bring your letter to God and put it down. Give it to God. Give it to God. That's what he did. And thus Hezekiah prayed. Listen, verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. God, they're after you. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands. That's true, no question. Verse 18. And have cast their gods into the fire. All the idols, etc. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, the idols, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here they are, here's Hezekiah looking out there, and in as we shared in chapter, verse 14, verse 19, Hezekiah is looking to God. He's going to pray to God that God would help him. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to 2 Kings chapter 19, and may I go to verse 34. God, what are you going to say, God? Here's everything going on, chapter 19, verse 34. For I will defend this city to save it. Why are you going to do that, God? For mine own sake. Remember Sunday school. For mine own sake. What am I doing? And for my servant David's sake. I promised the seed. I promised a wonderful thing for David. The rest of you guys don't seem to care. But I care about what I promised David. And I promised David a throne and a kingdom. And he's going to have it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel, remember now God said to them earlier, don't worry now. Sennacherib, the Assyrians aren't even going to get at your doorstep. They aren't even going to shoot an arrow at you. They aren't going to do it. Now, just be of good cheer. They aren't going to get you. Mm-hmm. You're gone. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So that night, here they are up there ready to come down. And that night, God took care of 185,000 of the Assyrians. And when you got up in the morning and looked out, Sennacherib, he didn't die. What did you see? 185,000 dead men. How's that? You'd say, here's the Battle of Armageddon. All the armies of the world represented. And in one word, it'll be all over. I got to tell you, you have to get a little bit excited about God. You have to do it. God, you say, well, boy, nothing now. Hold it. It's coming. Now, having said that, now we got to make a quick application. Would you go with me, please, in the light of that? Go to Psalm 115. And in Psalm 115, remember the word trust. We kept reading it. Trust, trust, trust. The Egyptians, you trust the Egyptians, and you should trust God and all of the same word. And it has to do with what? It has to do with hanging upon something, clinging to something. Close, close, hang close, cling, cling. Hang on, hold on, trust, rely, and thus produce confidence and security. Hang on, hang on, hang on to do it. Do it. Hang on to it. Don't let go of it. Hang on. Hang on. Wow. Like we did a little bit they did in prayer meeting, men's meeting, board meeting. But steadfast, steadfast, firm. He set his face steadfast to Jerusalem. And we are to be steadfast. Strengthen the brethren. Steadfast. What do you want them to do? Be steadfast. Steadfast. Locked on. Not loose, not sloppy. Locked on. That was the word. Wow. And we, anyway. Now, so here in Psalm 150, may I pick it up quickly in verse 9. They that make them idols are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth, clings to, relies upon them for confidence, etc. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. There's our word. Trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So Israel should, but Israel isn't going to do that. Isn't doing that. Hezekiah, they did. But in the days of Jeremiah, they didn't. Jehoiakim. Now, and thus, the priesthood, Aaron, if anyone, the reverend, the priest ought to be able to know and God and get to God. Verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So here we all come in and we fit in. In days of Jeremiah, they did not get the message. They did not get the message. No, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So God, but I'm going to get it because that's what I'm reading it for. I want to understand it and get the benefit of it in your presence. And thus in verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. So we fit in again. We fit in, no question. We come right into the whole equation. Psalm 37. So we're looking at clinging, trusting. That's what they didn't do. And the whole conversation back and forth, Hezekiah said, trust God. The Assyrians said, you can't trust God. And thus, Psalm 37, picking up, please, in verse 3. Trust, it's a command. Trust in the Lord, cling to God, and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You want to enjoy the land? You want to stay where you are? Then trust God. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, there's your verb, command. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, in Jeremiah's day, they're going to hang in there wrongly, as you'll see. Hezekiah's day, they're looking to God because they couldn't possibly overcome Assyria and hang in to the land that God had given them. And God never said, run from my will. He said, rest in my will. You don't run from me. You rely and rest on me. Don't back off. Steadfast. Wow. Now, so, thus, over, please, while you're here and looking, Psalm 62. And we want to do it. Oh, we want to trust in you, God. And we aren't waiting for a crisis. No, no. Psalm 62, picking up, please, the word, the command. Verse 8, 62:8. Trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now, trust in him at all times. All the time. That's right. All the time. So that then there's no, when something happens, I think I'll trust him. I'll call 911. No, I'm going to live with the one who's in charge of 911. When I drive my car, he's in my car with me. When I go to work, he's at my desk, or whatever you do. When I go to school, he's at my desk. My God is. My God's right there. And you thought the teacher had control, and she does. He or she does to a point. You thought your boss had control to a point, but only to a point, only to a point. And the reason we never see anything or know anything is because we don't believe. Not you, but people. They don't believe, and they never know. They never know. They could have known, but they didn't. Now, Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, may I go to that which you are familiar with. Chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, a command again. Trust in the Lord, cling to, rely upon, hang upon. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't do that, because then you're going to lose out. Because you're going to try to figure out how can Assyria... Who would have ever thought? Would you ever think of, if you were Hezekiah or an Israelite, would you ever think of that you wouldn't let them ever even shoot an arrow at you? And that you would eliminate the army overnight? And you didn't lose one man? Nothing. Would you have thought of that? Would you have come up with that plan? Could you have even conceived of that plan? No, only God. So we miss out. So now, thus, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And when you are heart's right, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want to give your body physical the best help you can. Then you do. Verse 5, 6, and 7. if you want to give your body the best medicine in all of forever. 5, 6, and 7. Wow. Now, so in closing, Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Picking up, if I can, again, that which you're familiar with. In the days coming up in the millennium, etc., and to the heart that will trust him today. So, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him, the one guard, keep him in perfect peace. Who are you going to keep, God, in a perfect peace? A wonderful, wonderful, solid, my peace I give unto you, tranquility. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, his imagination, thought process, is resting down on thee. And why? Why? Because we're resting down with our mind. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You don't want to do that. It doesn't mean you stop thinking and you aren't responsible. You are responsible. But you're going to make sure you aren't trusting in yourself. Because your hands are only so big and your strength is only so much. So you look at yourself in a mirror and you say, I'm only a me. I'm just me. So you don't lean on yourself. I don't lean on my little brain. Now, because, verse 5, here's the verb. He trusteth, he's trusting. He's trusting in thee. And then you have the word repeated again in verse 4 in the command, trust ye in the Lord. Because the heart is trusting thee, verse 3, therefore make sure you trust in the Lord forever, with all thy heart, forever, at all times. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You win. The whole world can say no. But if God says yes, God wins. God just wins. Boy, that's good. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Jeremiah, we're going to come, and you, when we hit chapter 7, which we're doing. And we're going to learn a lot of little things that will help, because we don't want to repeat what they did. I want to learn it, understand it. So God, here we are, and we're looking, and we've got a Dorcas meeting coming up. I want to pray for that. We got a choir program coming up, if the Lord tarries, and we want to pray for that. And do you have any other particular requests that you have? Remember the sick, the weak. In these days, God has to help us.